be learning the Rabban Vayikra, but we'll start with Rabban Shmos. Come back to what she says last time. Rabban takes it upon himself to try to deal with the sequence, the dates of the last parak of Shmos, but having done that, he casts his net rather wide, and then asks himself a bit about Chazal, includes in the discussion the whole of the first 2.5 seders of Sefer Yikra through Shemini. The point of departure is Yine Perak Mem, the Rosh Hashanah Mo B'Chodesh B'Yovel B'Yom HaKodesh Rishon B'Chod LaChodesh. Here we should come away to see what you do with the Meshav Abeinu. But that was a Shchesh Nisan. What should which the Ramban and others deal with, and this is based, of course, we have in Chazal, is what is the relationship between this particular date of Shchedesh and the Shiva Shima Miluim? Is this day, the eighth day, Vayibay Mashmini, the beginning of the third Seder in Shemai Vayikrov? Or is this the first, the Shir Sinan Gloom, which case the Shir Mashmini would be on Ches? This is one issue, one question. The other question which the Rabban deals with is how was Meshach being occupied or preoccupied because Shir Sinan Gloom? And here, to some extent, he relates what you have in Chazal, to the extent he ignores it. Well, I shouldn't say ignores it, but it's in a very low back burner. The course of the Rabban's discussion, and he basically assumes the position that V'yev Elisha is the Yom HaShemini, there's Rosh Chodesh is the Yom HaShemini. According to this name, Chazal, Das Rabbisein, Shir Rashim, and Miluim. And this has some semantic significance in terms of what Tokim et HaMishkan. See what she receives. It's a bit of a dakus, but a very significant one. The word Hakim could mean one of two things, to establish or to set up. Some certain things which have the element of permanence about them. You set the table, you set a chessboard. You're making something in that respect. But to make it in another sense is to establish something with finality, with determination. And Rabban notes that depending on the date, that's how the Tokim is to be understood. If this is the first day of the Miluim, Yom HaShemini is Ches Nisan, so Rosh Chodesh, Tokim et HaMishkan HaMoed means to put it up, but not necessarily to establish it with any finality. If this is Rosh Chodesh, this is the eighth day, then Tokim means give it that permanent stamp. And time of Katush, the Kim to Mishkavi Yamot Kain, not to Ridenu, not to Kimboot. This, of course, gives a very different character in one sense to the whole of the parsha which then follows. The Tzivui, which runs through Pasuk Tetzayin, and through the description of the realization, which begins in Pasuk Tetzayin. Come to Mishkan, Moshe to Mishkan, etc., etc., everything which he did. If this is the eighth day, which was counted as the Ramban's understanding, then we have here, what you have here is a inoxidant. Yeah, you're right. If this is the end of the post Shiosim HaMiluim, then the Hakama, which these Pasha speak, is one which puts everything in the final place. And then what follows in Vayikra, this to be understood, and this Rabban deals with later on, was a Yom HaShemini, what is that? If that is related to these events. But then you have Sefer Shemot concluding on a note of everything being set up, and set up with, in order, with finality, sense of permanence, crowning the Sefer, which deals with the Shas Hashchina, and it had been a process, and now it reaches its ultimate destination. If you assume that Shvi'is Marilu'im start with Rosh Chodesh, there, and if you add to that, what Chazal's understanding is that it's to be set up and put down again a number of times, almost daily, for whatever reason. What you have here is a description of the activity, maybe feverish activity, but activity which still remains very much of a provisional character in terms of its result. That leaves us a different character, the conclusion of the Sefer, and the run-on between, which is a question in its own right, between the end of Sefer Shmos and the beginning of Sefer Yikra, assumes a different character likewise. Tamakhtus, the branch, the kibbutz, the mishkav, yamot, kelot, and the kimbo od, this is the final determinant. Kibbutzua, machnot, avin, yurido, tov, yakimbo, tov, it's all about telling the Gafshir, and the Rishonim. I says, what do you mean? It'll be taken down when the Ravim, when the Masois. So that Ramban says that the Ravim does not Mesh Rabbeinu's task. There are in effect two answers to the questions of how could it be Lot Kimo'od and Mitzvah Bechot. One is a question which had ramifications of the Halacha. The other, which I think relates to what Rabban himself says over here. So whether what was done in the Mishkan, Binyan, Stiva, etc., Hola, is that Le'yemer? It's the Melach is the Shabbos Shemut Le'yemer? Or does that have a sense of permanence? So Shalmi says that since everything was in Apiyah Shemach Veshem Yisoh, that gives the character of Keva. Now that, of course, can be taken to mean that every time they do the malacha, they set it up. You don't know what, in theory, you don't know whether they'll ever be told to take it down. Maybe Al-Pi Hashem is Yachnu, and that's it. No more Masoreis. That's in one respect. In another sense, they know they're going to Eretz Yisrael. Presumably, if they make a stop in the middle of the Midbar, there is going to be another Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu. I think what Yerushalmi means, and we shouldn't quote this halacha with regard to the question of how Bina Liyemi, whether it's Mutar or Asa Liyosu, or other Rishim. That which is done up here, Shechin up here, Gvure, is by definition something of Keva. There's a difference between something which is inherently, in terms of its character, transitory and provisional, and something which inherently is permanent, even though it may turn out to be time limited. Take an halachic analogy, Mechiva Lizman, in terms of its character, confers the same degree of Bailus as a permanent Mechiva. But it's time bound. So, with regard to human enterprises and human initiatives, these may be, in terms of internal, in your character, transitional. That is, Al Pi Hashem, in terms of its character, is permanent. Maybe what the Rabban is saying over here is, although I'm not sure this is what he intends, we're simply related to the question that she raises. Later on, they'll be with some machnos, and there'll be many times which they'll disembark and embark again. But each of those will be kind of a temporary permanence. Qualitatively permanent, quantitatively transitional, temporary. But here, the first 7 days, when according to Chazal's view, he put it up, he took it down, put it up, took it down, that was intended to be transitional by definition, because it's all part of Shishim Emiluim. So this is very different with Levim to do later on. But maybe the Ramban says something else. The question of who is doing it is of significance. So machanot avim yirid oto yekim oto. The first days of the Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu put it up, took it down. Someone pitches a tent for the day, is what folded, or pitches a tent for the night, folded in the morning. It has never been properly established. Later on, once it's been established, and given its characters, that in the process of traveling, that it needs to be taken apart, put together again. This is part of its use. It's nothing to do with its construction or fundamental stature. And Ramban tries to conjecture, very typically, why no mention is made of the 70 Miluim and Chazal's view. If one were to ignore what Chazal said in this connection, he said it was one Hakama, this is the one that's described over here. But if Chazal described the numerous Hakamas, why are they not mentioned? Well, I guess one answer is that they're not mentioned for the reason I mentioned before, because it's a different kind of Hakama. It's a procedural thing, but not the fundamental structuring of Mishkan. Chazal, Rabban says, no, you have some place in the Torah, statements which are alluded to and referred to, which you don't have mentioned in other places. In Ekev, Rishon describes the tefillah which he had at the Tavad Hashem Kirishona. It's not mentioned in the original context. We had the Shchita, Pashas Veika, Shetzi Visicha, where you were Tzuba, Chazal wrestled with that issue. And therefore, there are things which are not mentioned. But in this case, Rabban says he replied. Kivan shepirashu atak yochel shot yakamato v'amda hine yada ki beit imamrim tzrech lakim ul horid. Since he was told that this is going to be the permanent putting it up, that he understood there was to be some impermanent one, lakim ul horid. And here the Ramban begins to conjecture in the Ramban is very often with regard to narrative factual points, at times with regard to shkafic or philosophic issues. Here you have something which I guess is on the border of both. Wulayakane's question is, what's the point? Put it up, take it down, put it up, take it down. Why not? Why not put it up once and leave it there? So he has one conjecture, Wulayakane lagid al v'yim. I say there to learn from him. That's one conjecture. But again, for the Ramban, one conjecture is hardly enough. Oh, yalach tirayom batarazo. In order to crown the day, Chazal said this, you have not Esra Torres, Shredish Nisim was singled out, the Gohan Gitin mentioned 10 different crowns. So obviously, if there's a contrast with what was done on the previous day, they put up in the morning, took it down at night. And here's the day in which put it up and didn't take it down, that heightens its significance in terms of giving that measure of permanence which previous days had been denied. Question of the purpose of this, of course, this is an interesting one in its own right. Harnessed this chazal in a somewhat different vein and lines of his own thinking. Said this was given one sense of here you are, then building a Mishkan, and this is the crowning glory for Klal Yisrael, for Moshe Rabbeinu first and its leader. And moments of glory, one forgets what it is like to fail, to be frustrated. And this was a Gittir Moshe Rabbeinu indoctrination, frustration, and failure. All right, that's a different approach. That's not about anybody here. You then have the next couple of lines. I mentioned the variety of the Ramban, multiple approaches. Here he harnesses areas halakhic data in order to indicate to what Pesach Chol Moed is. Apparently each day be put up. Ve'en petech lo lamet ha-kamatoch ve'doshu v'azal el petech lo moeb zeh kutoh zeshu p'forak halachis with regard to kodshim kabanis shlomim kela b'shechted das hechel are closed, only with das hechel open there's access. It's parenthetically mentioned that kodshim k'shenim is where this is all kabanis on the shlomim, the Rambam, the Rashi, on the shlomim, place in many places it's all kabanis, all kabanis. Yeah. Now, I mentioned before that the Ramban focuses upon the work of Rakamis and Mishkan. This is in line with the Parsha at the end of Kudei, which deals with that primarily. But then he does get around to completing Moshe Rabbeinu's subsequent activity to the avodah itself, Odi Makriv or Tamid Shemen Abayim, and the Gittinirot Ba'erev. And then first the Medrash for further expansion of what we have. And then again, the conjecture, Yitachayin Shekolze, Gilud Lodi Anyana Kamatov, it's Seder, Levinir Mephora Klal. Another guess as to why this has been done, very typically fertile of the Ramban. Right, what he's dealt with so far is the sequence, the association of the Lulim per se. So I indicated the factor, the facet of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Aveda, which in the Gemara appears in various contexts. Chazal said Moshe Rabbeinu during the Shushim of Miluim and Dinu Kayan Godel. There's a discussion more that in the Flamedalad and the Verizor and Zvachin of Kufalev as to what Godim he used, which is of course a very interesting discussion in its own right. If the Godim would be the Kayan Godel, so that the Gavri was a Kayan Godel during that time in addition to his other crowns, or whether this was a deviant case, an exception, she used other godim, in which case perhaps his identity as a Kohen Gadol was not established. But having related to what Rabbi did then, the Ramban goes on to try to see the focus, the context, the content of the parsha as a whole. Depending on whether you're dealing with the beginning, with the beginning of Shemay Miluim, with the end of Shemay Miluim, that will have ramifications only for the conclusion of the parsha. The last few pesukim, Chasan to Moed Kvashim Olei to Mishkan. When was that? So according to Chazal, which he quoted, V'atam Yezav Yom Hashmini, Kiyama B'chal Moshe Et HaMelacha, שקילה כמה זו של אחד בניסן כיסוי התנת המשכן. So this view, as long as there's human activity engaged in putting up the Mishkan, constructing it, putting everything, all the kelim into place, getting things moving, it still is in some respect a human bailiwick. And the question is not emolet ha-mishkan v'chasnat v'al-moed. Not yet. If you assume this is the beginning of Shiris Yimei Miluim, then lots of different characters of Shiris Yimei Miluim, different characters of v'chasnat v'al-moed. Unless you assume that v'chasnat v'al-moed does not refer to the previous date mentioned earlier in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but to a week later, and that notice that week over here is omitted. When you had this Gilu Shechina, it said cast some light on what happened in 7 days, and also the Ramban deals with in place in the Medrash the response of the Klal Yisrael community. There's three factors in this parshiyah. One is Moshe Rabbeinu is at the center stage. The other, of course, is Ribbono Shel Olam Hashkiyah Shechina. And the third is the community, the call for whom, and in the interest of whom, the whole procedure is taking place. Depending on when these events occurred, presumably the response of the Kilo would be different. If Hashkiyah Shechina was waited until the eighth day, then presumably until then there would be some measure of disappointment. This is what my quotes in the name of the Midrash. And only when it attains its crowning glory in the Yom HaShmini, then they're gratified. I mean, the process is such that it interests them, and it's a source of frustration and disappointment. If you assume that Chassanon was on Rosh Chodesh and that the Shmini really had yet to begin, then in some respect there's a Hashkiyah Shechina and the Avodas of Miluim work going concurrently, and it's only later on in Parshas Shmini that the grand celebration takes place. All right, then he goes on to run through the Seder of the Sukkim. And he comes back, still looking for a handle on what Chazal based themselves. Somewhat perturbed, what was the reason for this multiple hakama? And secondly, where Chazal found the market for it? So previously he says that since he was told to put it up, and it should remain that way, apparently before he had been told to put it up temporarily. Comes back to Chidmut Rayalah Mashkatubi Bomakhod Moshatu the Mishkan, no widow to Matam Beyom Kalot, Kibyom Khalechev Tila, Vahuishi Yomav Yomaki Moshet Mishkan. Say Beyom Kalot Moshatu the Mishkan, part of the stages and phases, one point, another point. Since the Pasuk speaks Beyom Kalot, apparently there have been previous occasions which he's done this. From here, the Ramban moves beyond our Sefer, beyond this Parshas Pkudei, to Pasukim Shmini, Veirach Kvod Hashem Mekol HaAm. And that says, when was that? So presumably, Veirach Kvod Hashem Mekol HaAm was before Kisad, before this Pasuk of Moed, Choshmu Leit HaMishkan. If this pasuk will be here first, the first day of Miluim, that's for Yom HaShmini, there's this gap. If you assume that Yom HaShmini is coterminous with Vayichasanot Rav Moed, so that on Yom HaShmini, two things occur. One is the grand celebration of the Parshanot of Aviyu, and the second is Vayimalech Kvar Hashem Choshev Olei Et HaMishkan. As a result, there's a different orientation, different perception, both of the beginning Shias and Miluim there and their conclusion, depending on how you interpret. If we interpret that this Parshiyah Pkudei refers to the Yom HaShmini, then that day becomes of utmost significance. What preceded is reduced in scope. If we assume that if we assume that Chasat El Moed Chashmol is a Mishkan, that was the Rosh Chodesh, and Yom HaShmini was subsequent, then significantly some are divided. Anyway, the Ramban assumes he's inclined in this context, where he quotes to accept Chazal's views in this regard. Then, of course, in Midrash Chazit, Rabbi Yom HaShmini Zeroy Leot Tchilat HaSefer, Here, he takes an overview of the sequence, not of this parsha here, but of the earlier parshas in there. And this, of course, has to do with to which point Vayikra Moshe b'moed, which is subsequent to the psukim here, which Moshe could not penetrate, and then he needed to be called, needed to be summoned, as we discussed last week. That was presumably after the conclusion of the saturation of Mishkan Chvera Shibolita Mishkan. And then you have Vayikra. If you follow the sequence then, you have these psukim here, Chvera Shibolita Mishkan, that establishes a barrier, an impenetrable barrier for Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore it needs to be summoned with Vayikra. If you assume that, if you assume that these two chesed and moed is a year hashmini, then the vayikra follows after the year hashmini, and the pesukim and the parshas are out of sequence. This question of the extent to which you say b'chum b'chabateira. With which the Ramban deals various contexts. Chazal, you have it in various places, in Kinesi and Bamidbar, Mamsach and Davar, with regard to that. The Ramban minimizes that. And here he has a different view than Rashi. Let's take two prominent examples. Rashi is rather free with use of Uzumuk material to resolve various issues. Take two examples in the middle of Sefer Shmos. One is when Yisrael came, Yisrael came before Manter, after Manter. Pasha Tzukim is, of course, that he came before Manter, giving Pasha Yisrael. Rashi assumes he came after. Ramban challenges him. There's a more critical vein with regard to the Bris HaGonos, the third component of Gerus, Mila Tvila and Tras Domim. So as Dami and the Korbans, Chazal derive from the Bris HaGonos towards the end of Sefer Mishpatim, a Parsha Mishpatim. There again, the Chos HaTanoim and Mechilta was there before Manter or after Manter. Makes a different view, not only of the sequence of the events, but also a different view of the relationship between the Korban and Milo Tevila. To understand as a part of an integrated and organic sequence, or you have Mila Tevila off on one side, they're the ones which define basic identity, and then the Korban has an additional responsibility. That's related to the question of Sugim Krisin of Ches, where I was looking up. There too, Ramban says, quotes Rashi, refers to Machleis HaTanoim, and it's Machia, we don't say Mugdim HaKabaterix unless we're absolutely forced to do so, otherwise not. And here too, Ramban prefers to maintain the sequence of the psukim, maybe other reasons locally as well, but generally speaking, the thrust of Midrash Chazit over here to tell you that Peyim HaShmini is where Sefer Vayikra should begin. The Vayikra, the first pasuk, belongs after Parsha Shmini. All of that was not in line with Ramban's preference. Concludes this discussion with Veini Yodeim Zedivrei Akol Odivrei Yachid Vedoishmanem Berusham. That's a conjecture of sorts as well. Maybe this is a Das Yachid and therefore we can reject it and return to what the Mahalach which he had developed previously. Ramban comes back to this theme, Pasuk Yitzayin, until that we deal with the Pasuk which is the Tzibur with the Atakamis HaMishkan. Pasuk Zayin is where the description of the Kamas HaMishkan begins. Kachos Yukam HaMishkan. And the course of that, he discusses what here it does come back before the Seder HaVeda. You have here the Kiddush Kelev of Mishkan. One point to be noted, so I've got notes before. The end of the shtibul, second shtibul, first pasuk. Regard to the why here it's rather abbreviated as the mitzvah, see where we're making the kelim. Says the second Sabbato Bakhtama, Kitsumat Aaron im Aruchot Yakdim B'chol HaKelim. In terms of priority, you have to first put the Aron there. This is what's mentioned here. First, you put up the Mishkan, the character to do it in Aron, it's with the Barim Aron, etc. Then the other Kelim, Shulchan, Menayim, etc. Rabban here speaks of priority in terms of sequence temporally. But there is also this one new priority in other respect. Ramban says for a mitzvah is chelik of the Rambam. He says that putting up the make the oven is a separate mitzvah from the kelim. Kelim implements. The oven is with the presence of Shechina. Possibly there's some focus. What's reflected here is what I already mentioned. I think last week. Chesed the Rabban of the Rambam is the function of Mishkan. If as the Rambam has it, it's primarily instrumental and functional in order to have a place where you mark of Kabbalah, where you go for Alisa Ali Laregel. In terms of functioning, Mishkan, the organ is less functional than anything else. You don't use it to have Mitzvah, Shulchan, Menoira, Mizbeach. Those are all implements, instruments with the Shem Kaimis and Kabbalahs. The Oren is not. On the other hand, if you think in terms of Shemesh HaShechina, the Oren is the epicenter of Shemesh HaShechina. Consequently, for the Ramban, that's a separate mitzvah. Oren is one mitzvah, Kelim another mitzvah. So the Hakdosh, the Ramban speaks here, is not only priority sequentially, temporally, but in terms of its status. Was the Chavzayin again is concerned about what's forbidden, what's there. Moshe Ektir Alev Koshivet Yom HaMiluim Ektir Alev Tevet Samim Mizrach Teres, Mizrach Hazar, Mizrach HaPnimi. So he said Moshe Ektir Alev Koshivet Yom HaMiluim part of the Avodah Rav Pashalo Omar B'Tzavah הכתיב עליו והכתיב עליו וכסר סמים, הבין זה משעבודות כולן. ראש רבינו understood, if he was told to do the עבדס מזבח, עד עבדס מזבח, לחם ונבס, כתוב עשה כתוב, is also part of it. Again, it's an attempt, which is characteristic of the whole discussion with Rambam. And here, the attempt to take an overview. I mentioned my introductory remarks, that was characterized the Ramban in a way differently from what you have generally Rashi and Ibn Ezra, an overview of several parshas, or an overview of a particular set, a particular sequence which we have over here. And Ramban's summary is, V'nei Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol ha'avodot, ha'kohen ha'rishon, v'fikach hiktir gam ha'ktoret. Ulai, again, the conjecture, אולי בכלל ולתת המסמך הזהב לכתובת שתקטרד עליו מיד maybe that is included in the mitzvah. This אולי is a פרשנות אולי expository one. Maybe that's the way to be understood, but again, it's a reflection of this tendency to be suggestive and conjecturing. All right, the last shtickle, the list we looked at last time, I'll go over that again. I want to know this connection was characteristics of the Ramban in terms of the ladies, looking for the overview and the ability to focus a set of two as a telescope, both by minor details and the broader picture. Moving to Sefer Yikra proper, here we come to the Ramban, another connection. Connection which has both halachic and scriptural ramifications. First pasuk we looked at, second pasuk, David here became Korban Hashem, which introduces the parshas of Korbanos. It starts with Erez Behema. Erez Behema had said, first Rabban notes that there's three korbanos to be from Behema, not Chaya. And as a mitzvah say, in Chaya, this is a question, it's only by what Allah says, Chaya is a korban. But primarily focuses upon the question of where the lines to be drawn between an Eilas Sibu and an Eilas Yochid, with regard to the intermediate category of Eilas HaShutfim. Quotes Rashi, Tativu is the plural, Olamed Shishlam in Advim Ola V'Shutafut. Korban Chem, Olamed Shiba Nidvat Tzibu, Ki Ola Ketz HaMizbech Abba Min HaMotarot. Shon Rashi. Rashi distinguishes here between Korban HaShutfim, Takrivut, Korban Chem, in the collective, the commonal sense. But he limits the Korban Chem to all his kids of Mizbech, Babin HaMetarot, meaning that which was cave in the Shkolim from Kufa of Tzibu, public treasury, public Korbanos treasury, and would be used if activity of the Mizbeach was low and the Mizbeach should be kept active and energized, so to speak. So these are Korbanos which are Ketz HaMizbeach. And this, what Rashi says, is the Nidvat Tzibu. Rashi does not say explicitly that that's the only kind of Nidvat Tzibu. That's what Rambam understood from me. Perash Rav Kiel Omar Shini, that Vu Rabim Lavi Ola, Olat Shutafini, במשניים המשתתפים בקורבן ובין עשרה ואלו שהשתתפו בו. אבל קץ המזוח בין מהמותרות אלה בדימקנה להן ופי גבירו לציבור. And then he goes on to draw some of the halachic implications. לדעתו כל עולה שהביאו רבים חוץ מן המותרות. המותרות קמו להם באז דמאסנה להם, but it comes again from the shkolim, to מוס הלשקו. דינה כדינת שותפים, תאונת צמיחה בכולם, וסדים קריבים שלהם. Generally, Korban HaSibu, the exception of two, it's Mishnah Brachos of Sefer Gimel, do not require צמיחה. Korban Yochid, Korban HaShutfim, do require צמיחה. The Sochim, do these Sochim come from the Tumas HaLishka, they come from the people who bring the Korban. So again, the distinction is such a Sibu, Yochid HaShutfim. So the Ramban says, according to Rashi, every oil which is brought communally by public, regardless of the size of the public, but if it's not out of that which is defined as Shaltzibu Chefze, as a Dean of Korban HaShutfim. The implications so far for him are with regard to Smicha, with regard to Nesachim. Then he says, perhaps even from which sources, what kind of korbanos you could bring, also is another difference. And asayif, you don't have a nidvas, you don't have a tzibu. And likewise, shlomi, you don't have shlomi, you have tzibu on shlomi atzeret, shlomi which covers the shalachim, but otherwise not. So we've got all of these, says the Ramban, still all of this is shutfim, regardless of how many they are. Then again, conjecture in the word of Halacha is the word of Ashkafe, having put a excited Rashi B'vidai from him, expounded what are the ramifications for Rashi's understanding. Because there's an alternative possibility. Maybe there was a common tzibu which is not chiyuv, which is not custom myself, not a business to learn, but a voluntary initiative on the part of tzibu. They want to bring a kol, a communal, national kol. Ramban lays down two conditions for this. One is that there's a separate campaign to raise money for this. And that you have with regard to certain korbanos, parandosh tzibu, seven shtaleach, also, even though these are korbanos which are institutionalized, also the money is drawn from the tzibu, reflects presumably some involvement at a personal level, rather than simply from an abstract communal public level. So in the same manner that you have over there, and as shkolim akalifat midir musafin, you can have, but this is, as I say, as an independent campaign for the nidvas tzibu v'eres behima. But then the ramifications, there's no smiche, etc. What is the definition of tzibu for this purpose? So one might have assumed that the representative of the tzibu could do this as an initiative of the community. That the Ramban seems to challenge. The minute it's done by people who are in official positions, running things, as elected, as selected, defined, designated officials, then that's tzibu. That could only be with regard to components of institutional tzibu. If you want to have something which is independent, but which has the stamp of tzibu over it, then the Ramban requires Alright, so about us 2 days over here, Rashi in his own, as to whether if many people get together, even the entire community gets together, the whole nation gets together, and they decide to bring a korban, which is not in the nature of korban tzibush in the chuyiv, they can do it, whether they can do it or not. According to Rashi, they can. Simply let us shoot, call a shoot for you. The Ramban himself, the Efshel later on, assumes under certain circumstances, they can. The Ramban in Brochus and Chamis, there adopts Rashi's before the Efshel. The question is whether there could be Tfilas Tzibu de Dove, so the Shenim saw some correlation between Korban and Tefillah. Tefillah is going to be a Tiknum. Said, well, if you could have a Korban the Dover, you could have a Tefillah the Dover of Tzibu. And then when the issue comes up, the Rif says it's not Tefillah the Dover of Tzibu. Almighty thinks that it can be. And Ramban says, no, but there's no Korban the Dover of Tzibu. And even if a great the number of people in the community gets together and decides to bring a korban, the dove, that is not defined halachically as a nidvas tzibur, that is a nidvas yichidim, in line with Rashi's view over here. These conflicting Rambans, or the two views from Rambam's this way over here, are often taken to reflect respectively the different views and the nature of community in social political theory. The view that tzibur is not simply a conglomeration of many individuals, it's not a partnership, that which is generally identified particularly with Burke in the Reflections and in other places. Burke speaks vehemently of this, of the organic nature of a community, by which he means two things. Number one, in terms of its ideology, out of which, from where it's coming, it grows out of history, out of the past. And secondly, that at any given time, it's like an organic unit. There are cells, like any body, there are cells which die, cells which are created, which are born, but the unit as such remains. As opposed to more liberal, individualistic, liberal with a small l. But historically liberal views which focus on the individual rather than the corporate state, and which speak in that terms of organic view of society, but an atomic view. It's like a fishbowl, the belly fish, having the bowl and all their compass within the same context, but they don't interact in a deeper sense. The common existential elements are very, very muted. In Chazal, there are, of course, a number of contexts, statements which do reflect an organic view. Notably, the Gemara in Hilyos, the Gemara speaks to Kovash about part of its Sibu, and the Gemara says that you need a part of Lovash Tzibu, meaning that Bez Narodal Paskin, erroneously, Rav Tzibu acted in accordance with erroneous Pesach and implemented it. So then, after being called, either Bezdin or the Tzibu or both, Machlokes Tanoim, have to be a Korban to be Mechapa, that's the Parah Dosh Tzibu. What happens if part of that Tzibu, the Meschait, it dies? Is it Lekhata Shemesu Baaleo, which cannot be brought as a Korban in Misa, or not? We might go so far as, so there's some discussion about this in the Gemara, we might go so far as to state that even if the whole of that Tzibur, all of those who had sinned in accordance with the erroneous Pesach which they received, none of them presently alive, but the Tzibur is still alive. The corporate entity, the body, the team is still there, even if they replaced all the players. It has the same fundamental structural identity. And the Tzibur Meis. And Tzibur Meis. There you have this reflection of the fact that Tzibu is not just at any given moment a sum total of the individuals within it, but something beyond that, and there's a dual identity. Each person has his own individual identity, and as likewise he's part of a corporate identity. The balance between these two, to what extent you focus on one or the other, without being exclusive, without denying the corporate identity or the personal identity, of course has to do with fundamental problems in Machshava. The whole of it is Chayei Livracha, and of course Chayei Livracha, of course we're divided on this issue. Both accepted the dual identity, clearly in Rav Kook's thinking that Nefesh and Shema Yisraelita Kolelet, that's a very dominant motif, and I think the Rav could have pronounced the words without smiling. But the notion, of course, is there, and the Rav's thinking as well, and Rav Kook, yours on the other side. There's some who taken to a median position of sorts. The Baral suggests that, which has also locked in other applications, that this is limited to the Sfar Chutzlaretz. In Chutzlaretz, you have much more collaboration of individuals, organic collective identity, Tzibur fully determined, is in Eretz Yisrael and not elsewhere. That is the basis in Halacha. Gemara in Heres of Gimel, which says, we've got one Osh Tzibur, whom do you count? Rav Tzibur has to be Rav in the head. Who's the Rav Tzibur? Which the Tzibur, which is the Rav? Tzibur says, you only count the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. People who live in Chutzlaretz don't count. And it's a very telling phrase in the Gemara, Hani kukol, hani lo kukol. Based on Pesukim Melachim, the call as such, those are the ones that live in Eretz Yisrael. And this has, as I've said, applications in other contexts as well. Rambam speaks of smicha being in Eretz Yisrael, like Chutz La'aretz, the Chidusha smicha. He invokes that Gemara. Yehonezer speaks of it in the Gat Wakir Chishu in Eretz Yisrael, the same reason. Maral, to which the Yehonezer refers, notes this particularly with an eye to the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Erevus. Who has added the Rambino with Beis Bereshit HaTanoim, we got the Pasuk which we read, or rather we will be reading, in this coming week's parsha. So there's a difference to what the pasuk is saying. Chas Lahuda of Nehemiah So whatever was known, Nigalot, everybody was responsible for, because even if only individuals sinned, but the community as a whole could have prevented, could have taken initiatives, could have tried. They didn't do it, they were held responsible. Once, but the Stout, they were not banished then. Entered Eretz Yisrael, they were banished when he Stout. Amar Rabbi Nechem, Yuchinash Yisrael La'olam, how could it be forever anybody be punished when he Stout? They don't know, how can they react? They react upon it. But when they made Olam Ela, Kishem Shkodash and Yisrael, Kachroash and Shishi and Galui, Asher Yisrael Tiyadei. There's a quote of Rabbi Nechem, a quote of Rabbi Yudah, Chutz La'aretz was only for Niglot, and that's not Niglot and Nistot. One of the Rabbi Nechemiah, Chutz La'aretz was only for Niglot and not for Nistot. And that's Israel, and excuse me, Chutz La'aretz, there was no Arevus, one was not chai for the other altogether. Once he came to Israel, then there was Arevus for Niglot, but not for Nistot. It's a dual machlokes, of course, and has revolves on two different foci. The question of whether there can be einish for nistaot or not, to what degree there can be public accountability, public responsibility, but that which you don't directly have knowledge of, in moral terms, religious terms, is an important question in its own right. That's one issue. The other issue is whether in Chutz La'aretz there was niglot, there was einish for that at all. But what is clear in the Gemara is that Rabbi Rabbi Nechemiah, why they disagree on these two important issues, agree that the crossing the Yarden was critical in terms of Arevus. Arevus, I mean, not whether you should be helping somebody else, but in Chazal sense, whether you are held accountable or liable and punishable if someone else does something wrong. that they both agree upon. But the Malt infers is that apparently in Chutzlaretz people exist more as individuals, distinct and different from each other. So what one does is not, the other one is not accountable for. Now, it's Israel, it's much more a corporate entity, a single organic whole. Therefore, what the left foot does, the right foot is punishable for, etc. That is, as I said, in sort of a median position with regard to the general issue. Here, with regard to Korbanos, of course, assuming that there is both a personal and a collective identity, maybe what question is what is critical for the purpose of Kabbalah, and independently of what you assume with regard to the broader issue, which of the two foci is crucial. I'll conclude by saying Ramban notes a number of nafkaminas, whether it's Kabbalah Shutin or Kabbalah Tzibur, whether Sachim, whether it's smicha, whether you can have it in oath, whether you can have shlomim. He seems to run all of these together, but one might consider the possibility that the criteria applied to this connection are not the same. Smicha and the Sachim has to do with the procedure, the Maisa Akrova, how it's done. That may be one set of issues. The question of shlomim and oath is another issue. The basic identity of a kohen, can there be such a thing as shal b'tzibur nedaver, shal nedaver b'tzibur? It may be that whether it's the Franz Kohen Shutfin or Kohen Tzibur, may be different criteria depending upon these two sets of nafkaminas. If the nafkamina, if we're dealing with smicha and the sachim, perhaps there, well, it's the other way. If you're dealing with shlomim and oila, there it may be that you can't get off the ground, it can't be shatzibu as such, that could only be shatzibu, and in which case you could be marked with a kolben. It could be such a korban. You have the smicha and the sachim. That's once you have the korban as to how you proceed with regard to it. Maybe there the criteria are different. All right. Next time, the other. Oh, we have questions next time. I said, okay, so next time we have questions. But next time we learn the Ramban. Pasuk Dalet, very important shtickle. Regard to ancient colors, kamus, etc. I hope we can get that together with Pasuk Hey. Now, next week, obviously, we have a problem. You recharge us. Two weeks, we have a problem. Kippur's Wednesday night.
It's Tuesday night.
I said, in 2 weeks, we have no problem.
Right.
Just that the next week. For me, the most clear will be Thursday night, if so, next week. It's much the same value.
When is Tanya
Sam?
Tanya Sam?
That will be a bit later. Oh, you let me know. If it's not feasible, not feasible. Yes, just because we just had the Gemara shiur.
8:00
Okay.